Excellent. Bear with me this morning if I more weave a few thoughts together rather than go through a complete scripture passage this morning, although I might well reference the book of Acts. Ken mentioned the Psalms. It's okay to read a psalm every day, even though we're in the book of Acts. No, but I think even I say that, you know, you'll find the Psalms a real help and a real comfort. And I have one verse from a psalm as well this morning. And the context, this was part of my devotions, and I read 34 verse 15. But my heart was inclined to think, Sunday service, somebody present, might this be particularly relevant to them? Maybe more than one person. It says like this, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. Very similar to what you were bringing, Ken. I'll read that again. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. In my mind's eye, I saw somebody, and it was like this was going through your mind. Does he even notice? Does God notice? You know, it's one thing to feel that you're bypassed by people. It's another thing to imagine for a moment that God has overlooked you. He hasn't. His eyes are toward, and his ears toward their cry. Somebody might even be literally crying, and not even your partner knows you've been crying. But the Lord sees it, and the Lord hears it. If that's relevant, take it. Amen. Can I just say, when somebody shares a word like Andre did, Morag did, Ken did, if that word has touched you in a very real sense, tell them for two reasons. Number one, when you actually own up that you feel that God has spoken to you very specifically, it underpins it under that. I mean, if there's anything worth making a note of in life, it's when God speaks to you. You know, we remember all sorts of paraphernalia. But really, if God, the living God, has quickened something or spoken, it's worth underlining it, underpinning it. One of the ways you can do that is just go and say, Andre, that really helped me today. Second reason it's helpful is it's helpful to that person who brought the word. You know, it costs people sometimes to get up and give a word. And sometimes we get it wrong, and we need to know that. And sometimes we get it right, and we need to know that. Sometimes we get it partially right. We need to know that. So it's an encouragement. It's taking seriously the Lord, taking seriously the word of the Lord, and it's taking seriously one another. One of the things that came forth from Andre was this concept of maturity, that maybe we're going through some trials, difficulties, temptations, and challenges. And sometimes God will just take away the circumstance, bring peace to the storm. But sometimes he cuts deeper, and he actually wants to transform us in the midst of the storm. And there's a verse in Colossians 1, and this was Paul's, I see this as Paul's personal motivational mission statement for his life. And it says like this, Christ, he was so centered on Christ. Christ we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom. And we need all those things. We need teaching, but we also need warning, but we also need wisdom. Some people can warn, but they not with wisdom. Some people teach, and teach, but never warn. But we need to warn, we need to teach with wisdom. And here's his heart's desire, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And that was Paul's burden for the maturity of the believer. As much as we love babies and as much as we love children, we do love to see them grow up and mature as well. We don't want them to be a baby forever. It's the same in the spiritual realm. And I think that word underlines something, that maybe God's up to something even more than the devil. Maybe God's up to something in your life to produce something of lasting fruit and benefit. That is so comforting. And I hope that is comforting to some people. And Morag said, turn to me and look to me. And Ken underlined it. You know, some of us are looking at our mobile phones more than the Lord. For some of us, our focus is on email and Facebook and not the Lord. I'm being a bit tongue-in-cheek there. But, you know, there is a literal way you can actually look to the Lord and seek his face and press in God. And some of the things that distract us are very, very practical things as well. Do you not find that? I certainly find that in my life. And so the Lord's really serious about turning to him and looking to him. And I think both Morag and Ken underlined that. And then there was a throwaway comment, which I don't think was a throwaway comment. Let's be radiant for him this Christmas. Arise and shine. Your face will reflect what you look at. Your countenance will reflect what's captured your heart and your affection. Let's be radiant for him this Christmas. And I think Christmas is worth maximizing the opportunity. And I was just reminded that in addition to our carol service on the 23rd and Christmas Day, which is the 25th this year, there's also an Asian Fellowship Christmas celebration next Saturday at 4 o'clock until 6. And apparently you don't have to be born in Asia to go to it. But I've traced my ancestors 25 generations back, and I'm a cousin of Stephen's. So I'm going next Saturday. But, you know, I said last week, Christians need to know how to fast and mourn, because some things are very serious in the world. But Christians also need to know how to feast and celebrate, both and. And I think Christmas is an opportunity to maximize that we can rejoice in the Lord, be radiant, and maybe touch a few lives along the way. So let's invite people, you know, make an intentional attempt to invite people to some of those events and services that are happening. What an opportunity. I noticed that Jason started to sing a song along the lines of, we turn our eyes to you and we turn back to you. And you couldn't find it, I'm sure, because it was a brand new song. We don't have that written down. It was just a spontaneous singing. And I make an observation there. You know, sometimes God will give you a new song in your life, something to sing about. And don't miss that. Do you understand? Don't miss the freshness and the newness of encountering God in the day and in the now and in the moment. You know, thinking about being observant, there's so many things we miss. I'll tell you a few quick illustrations. I've got an appraisal coming up, and one of the things I had to do was to go to the treatment room and find the emergency box just in case my appraiser says, if someone collapses in front of you, do you know where the emergency box is? And I went into the treatment room to look for the emergency box, and there it was in the most obvious place in the treatment room, but I'd never noticed it before. We need to be more observant and aware of God at work. Christmas was like that. The biggest event in history, the triune God, the sovereign God, came in Christ as a baby, God with skin on. And the vast majority of people in the world at that time missed it. We need to be more observant, more spiritually alert, more aware of God. Another little illustration, young man I was playing football with recently. I shouldn't have been kicking him. That's not what I mean. And with respect, I saw him as an awkward guy, socially awkward, kind of a left-out guy, almost swears continuously. I didn't realize it, but he's seeking God. I didn't realize it, but he's looking for meaning in his life. But some people, all they saw was an awkward, swearing, wee fella. But my eyes were opened. I made an observation. He was hungry to know God. So let's keep our eyes open and our ears open, because God is very much at work all around us. And one of the things to do is open your eyes in order to see the answers to your own prayers. I think it is okay to pray with your eyes closed. I mean, sometimes I think Ken's a good example, praying with her eyes open. I think we can pray with our eyes open. But what we should certainly do is keep our eyes open, looking for the answers to the prayers. It's almost like we say, Lord, don't interrupt me, I'm praying. This is about spiritual reality. I was reading some material recently by a guy called Francis Schaeffer. Anybody heard of Francis Schaeffer? Christian philosopher, as evangelical as you can get from the Reformed background, but he was absolutely burdened about something, and that was the lack of spiritual reality in his movement. And I really believe that's why we need the Holy Spirit so much. He makes real the things that we read, the things that we understand, the things that we build our lives on. He makes it personal and real in our lives. And we honor Christ by honoring the Father and honoring the Spirit. We honor the Spirit by honoring Christ and honoring the Father. We honor every aspect of the triune God. And I like what Francis Schaeffer was writing, because he said it's not enough to be able to say what you believe. You need to know the reality of God, the reality of Christ, the reality of your sins forgiven, the reality of moment by moment fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And that's why it's good, even in the Sunday service, to be real at times. Someone had a sore back earlier. That can interfere with your enjoyment of singing and standing. And it was probably hard for you to dance during that song. And sometimes we need to be really real with God and say, God, I want to sing. I want to praise you. I want to worship you, but I'm in pain today. Can you help me? Can you take that pain away, or even ease it? Or enable me to have the grace to overcome in spite of it. Spiritual reality. And so there was a song that said, he's given us garments of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. And to be absolutely real and honest, sometimes Christians can struggle with heaviness and can struggle with stress and can struggle with anxiety and can struggle with depression. But God can lift us in the midst of that, and lift us out of it. Isn't that wonderful? That we don't have to pretend with God. We come into the light, we confess our weakness, we confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we come into the light, darkness is expelled. As someone said, we have more respect for darkness than for light. I've never seen a fully lit room and someone comes in with something dark and suddenly the lights go off. But I've seen darkness coming onto the power of light, and life comes and freedom comes. So let's remember our God is who he said he is. He's full of life. He's full of light. I'm trying to weave together just some of the things that we've heard already. And finally, I just want to say something more about the Holy Spirit from the book of Acts, just for a few minutes, for completion. And Acts chapter 2, 4 verses. When the day of Pentecost arrived, this was also a day in history. There was a day Jesus died. There was a day he rose from the dead. And there was a day 50 days after his resurrection. They were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven, a sound like a mighty rushing wind filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. My thought about being observant, spiritually alert, and spiritually aware, let me say this. The Holy Spirit is involved with absolutely everything God has ever done and is doing. And sometimes he's so into giving Christ the glory, we don't even notice him. Prove that to me, Stephen. In creation, the Holy Spirit was involved. Genesis 1 says like this, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. Did you notice that? Did you observe that? The Spirit of God was hovering, waiting for the Word of God, light be. Light didn't have a chance but to be. The Holy Spirit is involved not only in creation, but he's involved in the new creation. He's involved in the new life. He's involved in regenerating us. John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8 says like this. Jesus speaking, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from. So it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is involved in creation. The Holy Spirit is involved in our new birth. And the Holy Spirit is intimately connected to the Scriptures. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful. Inspired, God-breathed, that speaks of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one who makes the Scriptures come real to us and life to us and reveals Christ to us, makes it personal and life-giving. It's a tragedy that some people can read the Bible and nothing happens.